The social valuing of skin color is a relatively recent phenomenon. Increasingly, though, and through the last millennium, with greater mobility of people by land and sea, skin color has assumed new and specific types of social meaning, serving as the basis for labeling, judgment, critique, and discrimination. In her new book, Living Color, The Biological and Social Meaning of Skin Color, distinguished professor of anthropology at Penn State, Nina Jablonski, investigates the social history of skin color from prehistory to the present, showing how our skin color influences our social interactions in profound and complex ways. It's a great pleasure to welcome Nina Jablonski to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good morning.
It's a delight to have you on the show. I read this book with great interest, and I guess the question I have for you to start off the conversation is, why is this such a complex thing to understand? It is so difficult for us to in often cases, grasp these biological and social meanings. And it would seem like a hard thing to take on in a book like this.
Well, it's a hard thing for us to grasp because we rarely take time to think about all the different kinds of values that we attach to skin color. We rarely think about the biological functions of our skin color. We take our skin for granted, including its color. And we know that skin color has some social importance. Some people feel it more urgently than others, depending on the level of discrimination that they feel because of their color. So people know that it has meaning, but it is rare when people actually reflect on any of these things. And so part of my reason for writing the book was to simply make people aware of how skin color evolved as a biological characteristic, why we pay attention to it, and why it has become important in social interactions, especially, as you point out, in the last millennium, especially in the last 500 years. And so a great motivation for writing the book was to basically put this on people's mental radar screens, as it were.
Why do you believe that in this past however many years that it has become so charged, that social meaning is so much more pronounced?
Well, one of the good reasons, Joe, is that in the last 500 years especially, people have been traveling over greater distances at unprecedented speeds as a result of innovations in land, sea, and air transportation. Prior to this, for tens of thousands of years, people moved at a much slower pace, and they came in touch with one another gradually. And there were many, many extensive trade contacts that existed between populations, and people no doubt saw people who looked differently from themselves. But there has never been, until about 500 years ago, the level of interaction and exchange as we see today. And so this is what has caused a lot of consternation on the part of people over time. Because imagine you are in a sailing ship, for instance, and you're traveling a great distance to a new land. You don't know what to expect. And all of a sudden, you find in this new land people who look completely different from you, who are entirely out of your realm of experience. This is one of the interesting and, to some extent, tragic effects of modern transportation, in that it has made these abrupt interactions possible. Now, many of the rather unfavorable impressions of skin color, both of light and dark color, were made under just these circumstances, when people were basically surprised at what they saw.
I want to talk just a little bit before we go deeper into some of the sociology of this, but there is obviously the skin color that you are born with and how that changes. There is also our want and desire in some cases to change that color of our skin, which makes us even more complex.
That's right, because our skin color definitely is a biological trait that reflects the environments in which our ancestors lived. And so for those of us whose ancestors lived in sunnier places with more intense UV, we have darker skin pigmentations. For those of us who are the descendants of people from dimmer and less UV-intense places, we have lighter skin color. And for many millennia, basically people didn't move around very much, and they remained within these particular ancestral regions. Now, of course, we are in touch with one another. We literally see one another more often. We travel to different places and behold one another in different environments all the time. And the nature of these interactions has sometimes spurred people to either want to become lighter or darker themselves. And the motivations for this are fascinating. For instance, we recognize that many darkly pigmented people today wish to be lighter because they associate lighter skin with social advancement. And so whether you're talking about young professionals in New Delhi or aspiring young people trying to get a better education in Kingston, Jamaica, we find many young people wanting to lighten their skin because they associate this with better prospects of education, marriage, and social advancement. And sometimes they use sort of legal and fairly safe methods of skin lightening and bleaching, and sometimes if they're poor, they resort to illegal methods, which can be very destructive and harmful to the skin. Interestingly, among light-skinned people, we find many who want to darken their skin to achieve a so-called healthy glow through a tan so that they look like they've been on vacation, so that they look like they have a higher status as a result of leisure time. This is one of the great ironies of modern life since the middle of the 20th century, is that we have conflicting aspirations. Many darkly pigmented people seek to lighten their skin, and many lightly pigmented people seek to darken their skin, but for similar social motivations.
Here's the problem I had with your book, and that is that there's too many fascinating things in it to talk about in 12 minutes. So let me...
I don't see that as a problem, Joe. I just see it as a reason to buy the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just... Basically my problem, because there's so many different things I want to talk to you about, because I want to move on to the sociology, but even I found it fascinating that there's a difference between men and women, that we have different pigmentation between men and women, even though we're born the same color.
That's right. And we see that there's a subtle difference within any given population. Women tend to be lighter than men. And we don't know precisely why this is the case, but we have several hypotheses for why this might exist. One of the interesting ideas is that at least some of this difference has been promoted by conscious selection of lighter women by men. And we know that in some cultures today, this is very active. For instance, in Japan and parts of India, the selection of lightly colored women as marriage partners is really important. So I discussed this at length. It's a fascinating issue that we're really just beginning to crack from the point of view of scientific investigation.
When it comes to the ultimate discussion of skin color and how it evolves and how it perhaps can divide us, are we becoming more and I use this word hesitantly, but are we becoming more tolerant in the sense, or more used to the fact that there is such a wide array of color, and that what we used to do is to categorize and say, well, if you are this color, you are this, which is so difficult to do now.
Yes, we are becoming more tolerant, and we see, especially in young people around us, the fact that many young people reject the idea of any racial or ethnic label at all. They say, you know, I'm mixed race, I'm mixed, I'm an American, I'm a human being,
right.
And they defy categorization. I think this is very exciting and very important. But we also must understand that, especially in some more rural and less cosmopolitan areas, and especially among older constituencies in this country, there remain deep-seated pockets of racism, often based on simple ignorance of the diversity of people. And this is unfortunate. This latter problem is not going to disappear, even with the death of older people.
It won't die out.
That's right. There will. We can hope that they will. That this problem will die out. But I think it requires more positive, active social remediation and education. So I think on the one hand we're becoming more tolerant, but on the other we must recognize that there remain pockets of deep-seated and mostly hidden racism that we must still address.
Does it in any way, and while we look at this as an advance where people do not worry about as much as the color and where people come from, and there is more, you are not immediately associated with the color of your skin, what does that do to our cultural identity, though, as it becomes more and more diluted, if you will, and more, and that skin color changes from generation to generation? Does that do anything to us culturally that is harming?
I don't think it does us any harm whatsoever. What it causes is that we have to investigate people individually, and that we must, you know, cast aside any stereotypes that we might have, because these stereotypes turn out to be increasingly invalid and groundless.
But what about their heritage? What about the heritage of a Puerto Rican, the heritage of an African American, the heritage of an Irish American or a Scottish American?
I think heritage is something that one can adopt proudly and cultivate proudly, and that it need not be dependent on a person's appearance. For instance, we know of many people who don't particularly look Irish American or Native
Right.
American or African American, but they feel that they belong to those communities because of their ancestry or because of special feelings that they have. And I think we need to respect those feelings and respect people's interest in cultivating those group identities. But what I think is important is that we're no longer judging books by their cover, as it were. We're looking at the content of those books.
In the perception that we have on skin color, I mean, one of the things that I find fascinating is we still identify President Barack Obama as the first African American president, and yet of mixed race. And it seems to me that that's history making on two levels.
That's right. I mean, I call him our first moderately pigmented president.
Yeah.
But I think we choose to assign these labels, and we must recognize that anytime we choose to use a label, it's a deliberate behavioral and cultural choice. Many of us don't recognize that, and we need to recognize that often we do this choosing because we don't know any different, or sometimes we do it very deliberately because we know it has a pejorative connotation. What I think we need to be more aware of is how our labels came into existence, and that many labels that we still use were created with the idea of deliberately isolating people from one another and preventing communication and commonality between people.
You write very early in the book about original skin, and what is that? How do we look at what is considered original now?
Well, what is exciting from a scientific perspective is that we have so many different tools that we can use to study the evolution of skin. Obviously, because skin is one of these things that disappears from the body very soon after death in most cases,
right,
we have to use really creative scientific methods to get at what original skin was. And most of these methods now rely on comparative genetics and genomics. And this allows us to reconstruct a lot about when skin became naked, when skin developed particular colors according to when people moved in different places. And so we now have this really sophisticated and fascinating toolkit that we can actually use to explore the evolutionary steps that were taken in the history of skin.
The book is endlessly fascinating and so important, and really allows us to have this essential conversation about this fact of life. And it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Nina Jablonski is the author of Living Color, The Biological and Social Meaning of Skin Color. The book is published by University of California Press. Nina Jablonski, again, a great pleasure in having you. Thank you, Joe.
Enjoy your color.
I thank you very much, and to you, I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.